The opinions expressed in the following program are those of the producer and not necessarily those of WKTV Community Media.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of The Joe Show, Connecting All Abilities. I'm your host, Joe DeYoung. Today it is Monday, February 22nd. Today is February 22nd, 2021, but all of the snow has been, it's diminishing away, but it's no worries, but hopefully everybody got to work safe and fine this morning. Pretty sure everybody did. I'm very excited today because I have another guest on my show today. She is a mobility instructor for the Kent ISD in Grand Rapids Public Schools. And ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome the one and only famous and popular, the one and only Michelle Cameron.
I love that introduction, Joe. You can introduce me anytime.
Hey, you're welcome. Good afternoon, Michelle. Good afternoon, Michelle. How are you doing today?
I am doing great, Joe. How are you?
You know what? I am doing fantastic today, just peachy, but I'm doing very good. I'm very excited to have you here on my show, and a long time no see, huh?
Exactly. I have known you. I was just thinking about this. I have known you, I think, since you were 14. And you came to STEPS at age 14. So how old are you now?
Right now, well, I'm not going to brag about my age, but I'm like 27 years old. But
there you
know,
go.
You know what?
What?
I think when you mentioned 14, yes, the first time I came to STEPS, it was back in 2011.
Yep.
At that time. And I was listening to Johnny Cash at the time. So I was on the GO bus that one day when I came to STEPS.
Yep.
There was a student that had a presentation or something on the TV, pulled up. So all of us were listening to it, and we had some popcorn. But, you know, Michelle, with all the memories that I have, do you have any other funny stories?
I have a lot of funny stories. Can we share some favorite mobility stories?
Sure.
That we have together?
Yeah, we can.
So I teach visually impaired people how to travel.
Right.
Right. So I work at the Kent ISD now, and I travel. I usually do the southern half of Kent County. I travel to all different schools all over the county.
In Granville. And
yep, Greenville. I have Granville, and I have Byron Center.
Byron Center,
and
yep.
I had CTC Strait and Mayfield, yep. And all of those, and we had such a good time. And I think for me, Joe, it's just been such a fun journey to watch you at 14 travel with a lot of help, and then when you graduated, traveling all on your own, using the GO bus and getting any place you wanted to go.
Yep.
With the GO bus, yep. On your own. You didn't need my help.
No.
So that was really cool to be a part of that, to help you build that foundation so that you could do it on your own.
Exactly, because I have so many good stories, too, and some funny ones, too. But I also remember you from Summer in the City back in 2013 when I first came to Summer in the City.
Right. That was a program that was put on by...
It was Amy.
Amy Schreiner.
Okay. Yes, yes.
She kind of ran the whole thing, yeah. But it was through the Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired. And that was a nonprofit organization, and we did that program in the summer, and we had such a good time.
We did.
We
also, we were in the art room, I think it was the art room at that Granville High School that we used to have STEPS at.
We did, yes.
We did do something with... Artists create with ACT.
We did. That was another way to connect with the community, right? So we had lots of artwork stuff. We were riding the city bus and the GO bus. And the goal really was to do daily living skills in the community, right?
That is correct.
Absolutely.
I have so many good memories. But with Artist Greeting Together, we'll share that. We'll share that when we get off the air.
Okay, that sounds good.
Yes. So, so where do you work, and what is your job description?
Excuse me, goodness. Ooh. I work at the Kent ISD, so the Kent Intermediate School District, and my official title is Certified Orientation and Mobility Specialist. So I work with visually impaired students. Some have some sight and some are totally blind, and I teach them how to travel so they can be independent. For some of them, it's just finding the bathroom in their classrooms. Some of them, it's finding, like for junior high kids, going from first hour to second hour to third hour, or high schoolers crossing the street and taking the bus, or at CTC Strait planning and taking the city bus or the GO bus, all over the place.
That's independence, too.
That's independence, yeah.
But some people can't take the GO bus, unfortunately. Some people don't live in GO bus territory.
Correct. All of these things we are so blessed to have because we live in the greater Grand Rapids area, right?
That's right.
And when you live in a highly populated area, you tend to have public transportation, and we use it a lot, don't we?
We but sure do.
Out in the country, you don't get that, do you?
No, you don't. And I think being out in the country makes it harder. In my opinion, it makes it harder for the visually impaired.
Right. Remember, we used to have the mobility club when we were at Mayfield School.
Yep.
And we always talked about our ability statements. So how can you get around? And the first thing always was friends and family take you places. And when you live in the country, sometimes that's all you get is friends and family taking you places, right?
That's right.
But in the city, you also have the opportunity, if friends and family can't take you someplace, you personally, you do the GO bus a lot.
Yep, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly right, because you should be able to go to your favorite places out in the community by yourself.
Yes.
Such for me, for an example, I would take the GO bus to the family fair to do my shopping by myself.
We practiced that a lot. When you're now, you do it all on your own.
We sure did. And you know what? We went to the family fair that was closest to Mayfield Transition Center.
Yes.
That was pretty nice, and it was fun too.
Yep, you did a great job because you always made your grocery list.
Yep.
And then we had a personal shopper, whoever was there at Family Fair, that would help you go around, and then you had to pay for the groceries. And then when we brought them back to the school, you had to put them all away.
Yep.
So it was a really good start to finish project.
It was really good, and I enjoyed it a lot. Yeah.
And so now do you do that at home?
I'm not taking the GO bus anywhere right now because of the
COVID.
Yes.
How about pre-COVID? Did you do that on your own?
I did. I mean, I want to get back to it.
Yeah. It'll be nice when the COVID thing is all done.
I hope so.
Me
by
too.
The summer.
Yeah. Oh, talking about that, I didn't tell you, I just got my second shot yesterday. I am so excited.
How are you feeling?
I feel great. Feel great. So far, so good.
Good. Alrighty. I'm just checking my recorder.
Good idea.
Why did you decide? Hold on. Let me try it again.
Okay.
When did you decide to work with visually impaired people, and why?
Oh, that's a great question. I was going to Western Michigan University, and I did not know what I wanted to do. And I saw people working with visually impaired people, like their long red and white canes. And so I researched it a little bit. And what I realized was that I really wanted to work with people one-on-one and make a difference. And so when I researched their orientation and mobility program at Western, I just fell in love with it. And so I graduated with my 4-year degree, and then jumped 2 weeks later into the master's degree for orientation and mobility at Western Michigan University. And I've loved it ever since. I've only been doing this for 20-something years.
Wow.
I know, so it's been
a
few years.
Yeah, it is.
A long time.
It actually is.
It's a very long time.
You know what? So I guess you're a celebrity now, aren't you?
I'll take that. I'll take that. Yeah. So that's how I got into it.
Awesome. And it sounds like you enjoy it a lot, too.
I do. I do. I just love what I do. So much fun.
It sounds like it's fun, because when you're a mobility instructor, you got to make it fun and learning, too.
You do. You want to make your lessons fun so that your students want to get out and travel. I love that your show is called Connecting All Abilities, because I love connecting with the community and getting my students out there, whether we're buying groceries or ice cream or going to the museum or the library.
Or the movie theater.
Or the movie theater. I just love it.
Or the mall, too, because this is what this show is all about. It's all about connecting community with the community.
That's right. The mall is one of my favorite places.
I love it. That's one of my favorites, too, and I miss going there.
I do, too.
Yes.
I do, too.
But that was, so anyways, because you would do mobility lessons, too, because you talked about your, when you traveled the southern part of Kent County.
Yep.
You also have Granville, you have Byron Center,
Caledonia, Thornapple, Kellogg, Kelloggsville, another one,
Granville, we already talked about that. How about Greenville?
Greenville is probably to the north, and it's not in Kent County. It's in another county, so I do not have Greenville. That's okay. But Greenville does have a mobility instructor. It's just not me. Somebody else.
Gotcha. All righty. Well, that's okay.
They're lost, right, Joe?
Right.
Go ahead, babe. You're good.
good gravy. How have you been able to connect with your students during COVID?
Oh, COVID and mobility. So it has been really, really hard for me to do mobility inside because it's hard to stay 6 feet apart when, because I work with kids of all ages, right? My youngest right now is 4 years old, and my oldest is 26. So it's easy to stay 6 feet away from people like you, Joe, who can walk and travel and follow directions, right?
That's right.
But for my little pumpkins, my 4 and 5 year olds, it's a lot harder to do that. So what I've been doing is taking them outside, because you're safer outside with and wearing our masks, and I stay as far apart from my students as I can, but I've been doing all outdoor lessons, and that's wonderful and cold all at the same time, right?
That is right. So when you mention cold, you mean cold outside.
Cold outside, yes, absolutely. Because we cannot ride public transportation right now.
Nope.
At least we're trying not to, right? I guess you could on your own if you decided, but we're not teaching it to our students right now because we can't always stay 6 feet away on the city bus or on the GO bus, right? So that means we are practicing our street crossings and going around the block and planning and executing our routes. But sometimes last week, our lessons were very short because it was so cold outside. We couldn't stay out very long with the wind chill being super cold.
Well, you don't want to stay out that long when it's that cold.
Right.
And now that you think about cold, but we had the winter polar vortex in 2019.
We did. And so when it is too cold this year to work outside, we've done some Zoom lessons where we discuss things. Like we've discussed extreme weather. And what do you do when, how long can you be outside before you're at risk, and it's too dangerous to be outside because of hypothermia or skin being exposed and frostbite and things like that. So they've led to really good discussions when we couldn't be out there doing lessons because of the cold.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, it also makes it really hard when you're not seeing your friends or socializing with your friends, because that's hard to be in isolation, because that has an impact on it has a negative effect on your mental health.
You are so right. You are so right. And it's that way with everybody. Yeah. To have to be secluded and be alone. We're being safe, which is really good.
Right,
but it's pretty lonely out there.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. So make the most of your phone, right? And call your friends and be together over the phone. But you're right, it's hard when we can't be together in
person. It's really hard right now. But with all of when all of us get our COVID shots.
Happy day, right? When we all get our shots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when we all get our shots and when we're all vaccinated, I hope we can all see each other in person again.
Oh, I hope so too.
Because I miss that. I miss the interaction.
I miss that too.
Yeah. So what do you like best about your work with the visually impaired?
The best thing is the variety. No two students are alike. Everybody's different, and I love that. I just love it. So one student, maybe I'm teaching indoor travel to, and another student I'm teaching buses, another student I'm teaching money. How can you tell a quarter from a nickel from a dime, or how do you use your debit card? Or there's just so many different things, and I just love that I'm not teaching the same thing every day. I'm teaching lots of different things.
You know what? It's fun to teach visually impaired people really new things, like learning how to use an iPhone or the iPod Touch, for example, because do you remember Jenny Dome?
I do.
She came over to the Mayfield Transition Center once, and she taught me how to use the iPod Touch. And she also was gonna teach me how to use the iPhone.
Yeah.
But we didn't get to that part.
Okay. Do you have an iPhone?
No. I'm thinking about getting one.
Okay.
Maybe I'll get some Apple products for my birthday.
You never know. And if that happens, you can always call Jenny from the Bureau of Services for Blind Persons. Mm-hmm. Right? I said that really slow because when you say it fast, it kind of all runs together. And if other people are going to see this, the Bureau of Services for Blind Persons is a great agency to get involved in, and they send people out to your house or school, wherever, and teach you technology or travel or a lot of great things there too. Huh?
That's right. Or they can give you, correct me if I'm wrong here, they can maybe give you some products that you need.
Yes.
Or use.
They are the state agency that helps visually impaired and blind people of from 14 years old through adulthood.
Right.
Right. So they're wonderful.
Exactly. They're a very wonderful organization for the visually impaired.
Yes, they are.
And I love my work but it's like with someone with visual impairment, whenever they want to pursue something that they love, or working with another visually impaired person, for an example, teaching them how to use a computer, teaching them how to use a cane. You know, that goes a long way.
It sure does. Sure does.
It does. That's what it will do. But it sounds like you make it fun.
I try to, but I think it's fun because we go all kinds of places, right? We go places and we do things, so that's what makes it fun.
That's right. Well, you got to make it fun because if you're going to work with someone with visual impairments, how are they supposed to have fun while they're enjoying the mobility lessons? You got to enjoy it, and you got to make it fun. You got to have a sense of humor.
Absolutely.
You don't want to be down in the dumps.
Right. And like when we're planning bus lessons, we want to go places that we plan places my students want to go. So I had a student last week, and he was taking his very first transfer bus lesson. Remember, Joe, where you get on the first bus, take it to the transfer center, you switch buses and get on the second bus?
Yeah, I remember.
Yep. And then, so I was doing that with a student, and he wanted to go to Barnes & Noble's at the Woodland Mall.
Yep, I remember that place.
Yep, and that's so much better than where I would have picked. So it's easy to make it fun because we go places that the students want to go.
Cool.
Yeah.
So once COVID is over, How will you connect your students to the community?
You know, it'll be so nice. I cannot wait to start using the city bus again and doing those lessons with the bus and my students and being able to do all of that. I just can't wait. I can't wait till we can go to a restaurant without being nervous about getting COVID. I can't wait to actually plan places and take the public transportation system to get there.
You know what? I agree with you 100%, Michelle, because I can't wait to go back to Family Fair and go back on the GO bus again.
Right. Go get your own groceries. And
I cannot wait. I mean, I want to get back to this year, 2021.
And what I am super excited about is, I mean, the whole world wants to get back to normal.
Yes.
And that includes people of all abilities, right?
Exactly. That's right. All of us.
All of us. We want to get outside just like everybody else.
We all want to get back to our normal lives, like
exactly.
always.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
And once we're all vaccinated, I mean, when we're all vaccinated, like I said, I don't want to sound like a repeating record, but I hope we can all maybe, I think we'll all get back to somewhat normal, but.
I think so too.
Yes.
Someday we'll get there.
Yes, and we'll also see our friends again, and mm-hmm. And also I had another idea too in mind, but maybe sometime this summer, if we're all vaccinated or something, maybe we can plan a reunion.
That is a great idea.
Yes,
I love that idea.
That's a great idea.
It is a great idea. Yeah, we'll have to after the show. Let's talk about that a little more.
Sure.
Okay.
No problem. We'll do that.
Okay.
Yes. Because right now my wheels are turning. Yes. Hold on a second. So how does tactile defensiveness affect people with visual impairments? And what kind of issues do the visually impaired have to face and advocate for?
Awesome. My goodness, a whopper at the end.
Yes.
Okay, so tactual defensiveness is when you don't like touching new things. Some mm-hmm. people don't like touching sticky things or slimy things or sandy things. And it's getting students used to touching those things. So, because you never know. You know, sand is great to play in, but if you don't like touching it, you're not going to like playing in sand, right?
Well, exactly.
And then you don't get to enjoy the beach like everybody else because you're all gritty. So you have to have opportunities to get over the tactual defensiveness so that you can go to the beach with your family and enjoy being in the sand or going swimming. Another thing with tactual defensiveness is when we go and take a ride with public transportation, you can't be afraid to feel where you have to pay for your fare on the city bus, or be afraid to clear your seat, Joe, before you sit down. Remember how you bend over and you put your hand on the seat and make sure nothing is on that chair before you sit down?
Yep.
Yep. So you can't. Some of my little kids are afraid to do that because they don't want to touch whatever's on the seat. And so we got to get them over that tactual defensiveness so that they can feel for things in their way before they sit down or before they pick a table to sit at McDonald's. You want to make sure that it's a clean table. You can feel that little spot in front of you.
That's right.
Yep. Or if you have a tactual map, sometimes I like to make maps for my students, and I used raised lines and dots, bump dots and things like that.
Yeah.
And the students have to be able to feel them to get the information from that map, right?
That's right.
Go ahead.
So to get them over the tactile defensiveness, do you practice with them?
Yes. Well, think about you, Joe. Your big tactual defense was eating. You certainly only like to eat things that
such
are certain textures.
Yes.
Right?
That's right.
And
because the problem is I still don't eat fruits and vegetables. I mean, that's the problem I still have to this day. I mean,
right.
The only thing, I mean, I will eat applesauce or bananas.
Okay, you know what? You never used to eat applesauce and bananas. So
no.
I am really proud of you because you're getting better.
Thanks.
At that stuff. So it just takes practice and time, and that's how we do it. You also have to be able to, and I know you're good at this now, is when somebody wants to lead you somewhere, you say, oh, excuse me, can I take your arm? And you hold on to their elbow so that you are in control of where you are and where you're going. You don't allow other people to push or pull you any places. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense, though. And and when you were discussing about my eating, and when you were also discussing the tactile defensiveness, yes, I would not eat anything that had something to do with vegetable related or fruit related.
Yeah, because of the feel of it in your mouth. You
yes.
don't like that feeling.
Well, this is what I think about this right here. But we're not getting off topic, are we?
Okay. Well, no. Well, no. You were talking about tactile defensiveness, right?
And you
can own up to that.
That's right. Because tactile defensiveness, when you're eating something that you love or if you don't like it, whether your body wants it or not, it will say, like, your immune system, your body responds, like, to you, like, I don't want this. Mm-hmm. I don't want that. Mm-hmm. So it makes you just want to spit it back out.
Right, right. And so for some kids, when they touch things, they get that same feeling. They don't want to spit it out because it's not in their mouth. They're touching it.
Right.
So the more we practice touching things, the better they get at it so that they're not afraid to take somebody's elbow because they might have a scratchy sweater on that they don't want to feel.
Right.
So that's a big help. What was the other part of the question? I forgot. You said it was tactile defensiveness and what was the rest of it?
It was something like what are the issues that the visually impaired need to, advocate
that
for,
for anything. So
yes.
I think you've become really good at that, Joe, is that you've learned to advocate, to tell people what you need and what would help you to be independent, right?
That's right. They need to face that and advocate for that.
Right, because if I've never traveled with a blind person, how do I know that you would prefer to take my arm instead of me pushing you in front? So you advocate for yourself. So you say, no, thank you. I do better if I take your arm instead, right? So you're advocating for what traveling works best with you, right?
That
in
is right.
Unfamiliar places. In familiar places, you probably prefer just to use your long cane.
Yep.
And just walk next to the person. You don't have to use the human guide technique. You use your cane and go.
That's right. You just got to use your cane to find obstacles.
Absolutely. And like when you use your cane to get on and off the GO bus and to find an empty seat in the GO bus.
Yep.
Right? Mindy's not with you to do that.
Nope.
Nobody's with you. You just get on and go.
Well, whenever I get on the GO bus, I always take the first seat, and that's behind the driver.
Smart.
So that way, if I pull up to the family fair or something, then I can get off.
And it's quick, right?
Yeah, it's quick for me. So I can get in the store, get my stuff. I mean, I'll do it in the morning, but I would beat the crowd.
Right.
So that's itself, that's independence, too.
That's right.
For someone that's visually impaired.
And every person has a different level of independence, right?
That's right.
Your level of independence for traveling is friends and family and the GO bus.
That's right.
Right.
And that's a good thing you brought it up, because the reason why I can't take the GO bus, this is why I won't do it. It's because if I'm by myself, I can't do the GO bus by myself.
You mean the regular city bus?
That's right. Because
the GO bus you do by yourself just fine.
Yes, because the city bus, unfortunately, I can't do it by myself. And I have no excuse for this whatsoever.
Oh, no. Joe?
Yes.
You've reached your independence level. You're doing great.
Yes.
So you don't have to worry about you don't have to travel everywhere using every mode possible.
Right.
You just need to pick the mode that's best for you.
Exactly.
And what you have found is the GO bus is best because it takes away the stress, right?
Yep, that it
and
does.
You don't get lost from point A to point B. Mm-hmm. And so that works really well for you.
That's right.
For other people, some of my students prefer the regular city bus, and they do great on that.
Yeah.
Some people just like friends and family, and that's the right thing for them. So that's what I like about this job, too, right, is mm-hmm. figuring out everybody has a different level of independence and getting them to reach the level of their independence.
Right. Well, thank you very much for coming on the show today, Michelle.
Well, Joe, you're so welcome. This was the best interview I've ever had.
Hey, you know what? My pleasure. I would love to have, I hope to have you back on the show again.
Anytime you need me, you just call.
You're
and
welcome.
And we'll work on our reunion.
All right, no problem.
All right.
Before we go, are there any questions or anything you'd like to say or add to the conversation?
I think we did it. I just wanted to talk about connecting all abilities and getting involved in the community, and I think we did that.
Yeah, connecting with the community.
There you go.
Yeah, all righty. Well, that wraps up today's episode, folks. I hope you all enjoyed this episode, this very special episode. And if you enjoyed it, please don't forget to share it and hit that like button and subscribe and comment down below. And please leave a review and rating. You can find my show on the Whole Picture Podcast. It's on Facebook. You can also find my podcast on Spotify, Stitcher, and Anchor.fm. And you can listen to my show on WKTV Comcast 25, WKTV AT&T 99. And my show is aired on Tuesdays at 12:30 p.m. and Thursdays at 9:30 p.m. So please tune in and don't miss it. I will see you all next week, Monday, for next week's episode. So please stay safe and take care of yourselves and each other. And please be nice to each other. And until next time, peace.
The opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of the producer and not necessarily those of WKTV Community Media.